Well, praise the name of the Lord, everybody. We are excited about God's word on this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray for every listener that they will hear your word and receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue our sermon series titled, The True Gospel of Salvation. I will be reading in your hearing from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Our first biblical principle in this lesson is the true gospel of salvation is for all mankind. Our second biblical principle, it is not by works. Man is not declared righteous or judged worthy by the works of the law. That is legalism. No man can do anything or perform any deed to get in right relationship with God. Our third biblical principle is the true gospel of salvation is in faith alone. Number four, it's in Christ alone. Our fifth biblical principle is the true gospel of salvation does not promote sin. Number six, it tears down the law. Our seventh biblical principle is the true gospel of salvation liberates us. Number eight, it unites us with Christ. Number nine, it changes us. And our tenth biblical principle is the true gospel of salvation is a life of faith. Now let's continue. Galatians 2:20 reads, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." The word life in this text refers to the natural man from cradle to grave, the flesh, or the whole nature of man. Our flesh is not justified by the works of the law, but within this life, in the flesh, there is a life of faith. Faith is simply trusting Jesus. It's a strong conviction relating to God and relating to Jesus Christ. Faith is simply taking God at his word. The Lord is speaking to us very clearly and plainly today. It is no longer works, the law, or legalism, but it is our faith that we live our new life. We believe our salvation is complete in time and in eternity. We trust and obey Christ, not out of fear, but out of our love for him. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 14, 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." It is our loving obedience and our continual total reliance and dependence on the person and work of Jesus Christ. He lives his life in us and through us. Christ is now our life. He is our all in all. He orders and controls our lives. Our steps are ordered by him. And it is our faith that connects us personally and intimately with Christ. The phrase Son of God in this text is one of the titles which the early Christians used to refer to Jesus Christ. Faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He did it all. We are justified by simply trusting Christ. Now that is truly a life of faith. It's a beautiful life, a meaningful and purposeful life. Scripture declares in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. This biblical truth is repeated in three other passages in the Bible. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's repeated in Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, and also in Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 38. We live by faith. We also walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. And we fight the good fight of faith, according to 1 Timothy 6:12. The Apostle Paul in our scripture lesson is fighting the good fight of faith. He is in direct opposition to the law, to works. He is in opposition to the false brethren, to the false gospel. He is fighting for the truth of the gospel, and we too must fight the good fight of faith and for the truth of the gospel. The word of God is just as relevant today as it was during the times when this epistle was penned. We are people of faith, and we have victory, and we overcome the world because of our faith. And we can grow and increase our faith. Romans 10:17 declares, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can only please the Lord when we engage and activate our faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. Now let's continue in our foundational text, Galatians 2:20. It states, he who loved me and gave himself up for me. The true gospel of salvation, number 11, is based on Christ's pure love. The word love in this text comes from the Greek word agapeo. It's related to the noun agape, which means to love unconditionally and sacrificially and to reflect the love of God himself. Agapeo does not describe an emotional love, but represents the act of one's will, which desires and seeks another's highest good. It also means to love dearly. The word gave in this text comes from the Greek word paradidomi. It's in the active voice, which means to keep on giving. Jesus Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. Jesus gave himself of his own volition for us. One commentary stated, the phrase gave himself for speaks of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ for our sins. And the atoning work of Jesus Christ was all sufficient for us. It was enough. Here in this verse, the Apostle Paul sees the love and sacrifice of the Son of God as personal. The word me is seen twice in this verse, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is a personal one, an intimate one. He died for me and he died for you. when Jesus gave himself up, that was the strongest proof of his love for us. It was something the law could not do. It was something religion could not do or tradition could not do. God knew that the only way he could save us was to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And I love the song by the Mississippi Mass Choir, "It Wasn't the Nails." The lyrics go, "It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. He could have come down, but the world would be lost. The ransom was so high, only he could pay the cost. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. Oh, it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. He was lifted up from the earth in order to draw all men. It was love that held him there, and that same love covers our sins." John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We received the gift of eternal life by faith. John 15:13 declares, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ, our perfect, supreme, eternal sacrifice. And when we allow him to live out his divine life through us, it is a divine transaction, an exchange that we enter into a beautiful covenantal relationship with Jesus Christ, the person who demonstrated his love for us when he gave himself for us. We put our faith in him, the marvelous person of Jesus Christ. Now let's continue. Galatians 2, verse 21 reads, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." The King James Version states, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain." Our 12th biblical principle is the true gospel of salvation is in grace alone. The word nullify in our text means to do away with, to set aside, to disregard, reject, or to make void. The word grace in this text means goodwill, absolute loving kindness of God towards men, or unmerited favor. God's grace is a gift. It is God giving us what we do not deserve. Not one of us deserve his grace. The Apostle Paul states, "I will not reject or disregard or frustrate the grace of God." Peter, Barnabas, and the Judaizers were negating and frustrating the grace of God. They were believing the lies that returning to the law of Moses and circumcision were necessary for salvation. They were frustrating the grace of God. Peter was joining in with these false brethren that belong to the circumcision party by promoting legalism, tradition, and religion. They were negating and frustrating the grace of God. Peter and the Jewish Christians were delivered from the law. They were set free from the bondage of the law, but they were negating and frustrating the grace of God when they believed that they had to go back to the law for salvation. They were frustrating the grace of God by separating themselves from their Gentile brothers and sisters and causing confusion and disunity. And by their actions, they were teaching there was a Jewish church and a Gentile church, and that is heresy. There is only one body, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. They were frustrating the grace of God. And the Lord is speaking to us through this Pauline epistle. When we develop racism and promote division and strife among our brothers and sisters, we too are frustrating the grace of God. When we knowingly return to and practice unrighteousness in any area, especially when we were once delivered from it, we are frustrating the grace of God. Sin is sin. There is no degree of sin. There's no little sin or big sin. God hates sin. Sin enslaves us and destroys us. And some of us know better, like Peter. We know right from wrong, but we want to do our own thing. We know it was only God's grace that delivered us out of the mess that we were in. James put it this way in chapter 4, 17. So for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for him it is sin. We frustrate God's grace when we put religion before our relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is man trying to work his way to get to God. Relationship is simply trusting the Lord Jesus for the finished work that he has already accomplished on the cross for us. He has already redeemed us. He bought us back from the slave market of sin and death. The Apostle Paul said it so beautifully in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We frustrate the grace of God when we try to work our way to get God's approval or man's approval. That is works. There is nothing we can do to gain merit with God or with man. We frustrate the grace of God when we have a self-righteous attitude and we believe we're holier than thou and we can do no wrong. And we've all heard the expression, you don't smoke, you don't drink or chew, and you don't run with those who do. Well, you might not smoke. You might not drink or chew or run with those who do, but I can rest assure you there's an area in your life that you are struggling with in the flesh, because the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. God is a God of grace. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is grace alone, through Christ alone, received by faith alone, that declares us righteous. The true gospel of salvation is a gospel of grace. Luke put it this way in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 24, when he writes of the Apostle Paul, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul has come to a conclusion. In our modern day vernacular, it's like, Peter, you just don't get it. You too were saved by the grace of God. You proclaimed it in your own ministry. So why are you trying to add works? Why are you neglecting the gospel of grace? When you add works, then grace is no more grace. The law says do something. Grace says it's already done. We must decide in our hearts we will not nullify the grace of God by allowing for any works at all. In Romans chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible declares, now to the one who works, the wages are not credited as a favor, but as what is due. God gives us his grace. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. We cannot work for it. All of God's grace was given to us in Christ Jesus. His grace is sovereign and unconditional. God's grace is beautifully manifested in the Old and the New Testaments. We are all saved the same way, by grace through faith. And in our lesson text, Peter and the false brethren were believing and teaching that salvation and righteousness could be obtained by circumcision and keeping the law. That is not so. Salvation has always been and will ever be by the amazing grace of God. The grace of God was mentioned in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. In the life of Noah, the Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And then the Hebrews writer puts it this way, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." And we know when one is justified by faith, they are declared righteous. The righteousness of Jesus Christ was placed on Noah's spiritual account. We also see in Genesis where Moses write about the salvation of Abraham, God's grace. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 declares, "Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." Christ's righteousness was also imputed to Abraham's spiritual account. One commentary stated, "Grace starts with God, continues with God, and ends with God. Anything we do is in response to what God has already done." It was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that paid the high price of our redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." J.I. Packer, in the book Knowing God, put it this way, "The grace of God is love freely shown towards guilty sinners, contrary to their merit and indeed in defiance of their demerit. It is God showing goodness to persons who deserve only severity and who had no reason to expect anything but severity." It was once said, grace is God giving us what we do not deserve. God saves us and justifies us by his grace through faith in Christ Jesus. God's grace was beautifully manifested in the life of Jesus. John chapter 1:14 states, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 1:17 declares, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." The true gospel of salvation is in grace alone. The Apostle Paul further declares, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21b, "For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." If one could be saved by keeping the law, there was no need for Christ to die. If we could keep our salvation by obedience to the law or legalism, Christ died for nothing. Christ having died shows that the law has no power to justify us, none at all. Salvation is by grace alone. The word declares in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God's grace is sufficient for every good work. God's grace is a free gift. One commentator recorded, "The doctrine of the grace of God is one of the pillars of our Christian faith, and it distinguishes us from every world religion. The true gospel of salvation is in grace alone, through Christ alone, received by faith alone. It is God's amazing grace. And we're all familiar with the Christian hymn, Amazing Grace, with those beautiful lyrics that go, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. This song has been recorded more than 7,000 times. It is truly God's amazing grace that saved us. Now let's look at some practical applications for our lesson. Number one, pray and ask the Lord to show you if there are any areas of legalism in your heart or human efforts or any works you are doing to gain merit with God. Number two, repent and ask God for forgiveness. Number three, ask the Lord for strength to accept and receive the free gift of grace. Number four, invest time studying the Word of God to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, read and meditate on the scriptures pertaining to the lessons. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Romans chapter 6, 23, and Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And as you get stronger, share your faith and the good news of Jesus Christ with the lost. There's also one recommended reading, and it's the book Knowing God by J.I. Packard. And you might say, Bible teacher Tyler, who is this Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for salvation that's taking place all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you until we meet again.